So welcome everyone. It's a wonderful turnout to this talk on detoxification this afternoon. My name's Casey Conroy. I'm an accredited practicing dietitian and a holistic dietitian and nutritionist. So I practice in a way that integrates both a modern medical way of working with nutrition and food as medicine, and also a more alternative, complementary database. So I like to kind of mix and match according to the person that I'm seeing. Kimberly, did you want to say anything before I got started, or are you just going to...
Yes, I'd better let you know. Casey's done quite a few workshops here with us, so welcome again. And also don't forget, in case of emergency, the exit is actually out. That's all there. You can carry on if you like.
Awesome, thank you. All right, so detoxification. Who has heard of this term detox or cleansing or any of this stuff? So there's juice fasting and water fasting and a lot of these terms that get thrown around willy-nilly sometimes. So put your hand up if you're familiar with this jargon. Yeah, it's pretty, in the past 5 to even bordering on 7 years now, it's been quite a popularized area of health, sometimes to the benefit of people and sometimes not so much. What I want to talk to you about today and give you tools to take home with you is what detoxification is. What is toxicity, basically? What is it that we're trying to detoxify? Why it's so important? And a way to do it that is based in science, so based on physiology of the gut, based on biochemistry rather than something out there, but also a way to do it that is sensible, safe, and of course effective, because we all want things to be effective if we're going to go to the trouble of doing them. So in my practice, I have a private clinic in Burleigh Heads on James Street, and this is one of the areas that's very close to my heart. I guess I specialise in modern day detoxification, and I think it's such an important area in this day and age, because even compared to, even 10 years ago, the amount of toxicity, the pollutants that we're interfacing with in our environment has really, really increased to quite a grand proportion. Things like environmental estrogens and BPAs, plastics in our environment, in our water, even wall-to-wall carpeting, air conditioning, electromagnetic radiation, and that's just the environmental stuff. So on top of that, we've got all the stuff that is in our foods. I'll talk about that a bit more in depth as we go on. And we've got this immense, for most people I've talked to, this load of stress that we deal with in our day-to-day lives. I don't know personally of anyone who can tell me that they don't lead a busy life nowadays. And that busyness, this, treadmilling that we do tend to get caught up in with, for whatever reasons. We need to look after our families, or we're trying to grow a business, or, send ourselves to school. We can get very bogged down in the nitty-gritty everyday, pay-to-pay kind of way of living, and that actually has a biochemical effect on the body, that it stimulates our adrenal glands, for one thing, and our adrenals are in charge of a lot of different hormones in our bodies, for example adrenaline, cortisol and the like. And when we have overwhelming amounts of these hormones in our blood, an unnatural level consistency of these hormones in our bloodstream, that in itself can have an inflammatory effect. So we've got toxins from our food, from our environment, and from inside our own bodies. And as I said, the amount that we're dealing with today compared to even the amount of our that our great grandparents and ancestors dealt with has really, really increased. So before I go on, a quick show of hands as to anyone who has looked down this detoxification avenue and has, for example, done some kind of cleanse, whether it was a 10-day cleanse or a 10-month cleanse, some kind of juice fast or even a raw food kind of diet or any of the other, you know, things that are out there that people can use. Quick show of hands, I know I definitely have many, many times. Yeah, so maybe about half, up to half of you guys. So if we just talk really generally for a moment, in the world of, I guess, you know, one of the main things I deal with in my clinic is weight management. I personally think that a large part of that has to do with detoxification. But if we look at weight management as a whole, as you know, we have an epidemic of obesity in our society, and lots of different people say lots of different things. But whatever the reason people think that this epidemic is occurring is, the way I see it, there's two different schools of thought. There is some grey between these two extremes, but in my eyes, there's two main ones. Those are the kind of orthodox, traditional ways of looking at, you know, dealing with excess weight and all the toxicity that actually goes with it. So in old school talk, these would be things like calorie counting and measuring things and weighing things. And, you know, basically it works on the premise calories in, calories out, and finding a balance between these two. That's how dietitians are still taught at university. That's how I was actually taught at uni. But it's quite outdated science, actually. It's about 20 years outdated. We now know that weight management has a lot more to do with other factors than just calories and energy expenditure. So that's a little summary of at least my perspective of the mainstream, old school way of looking at least weight management. I'll show you how this feeds into detoxification in a moment. But then you've also got the more holistic, alternative ways of looking at it. And this is where we start to see our juice fasting, our water fasting. It's become very, very popular. Has anyone seen the movie Fat, Sick and Nearly Dead? Where Joe Cross, he's a filmmaker and a businessman, he goes for 60 days. Or I think initially he meant to do 30, but then he went to 60 days of just having raw, freshly pressed vegetable and a bit of fruit in his juice. And he lost an amazing amount of weight and felt much, much better after, of course, all the initial horror of the detoxification process. And he inspired a lot of people to follow in his footsteps. So this thing has become more and more a part of our mainstream culture. And I guess it's starting to move out of the alternative realm and become more mainstream. You see, even on James Street where I work, there's juice bars popping up seemingly every month. There's a new juice bar, there's colonic clinics everywhere. There's a lot of this, and it's becoming more and more mainstream. But even with these more alternative, so raw food diets, raw food veganism, juice fasting, they in themselves can become their own trap. If anyone has ever tried a juice fast before or a raw food diet, I don't know, hands up if you've tried any of those before. Again, I absolutely have, yeah. Yes, you can get fabulous results, but are they sustainable? Were they comfortable? Was it a pleasurable experience that, you know, where you got to know about yourself, or was it absolute hell or very uncomfortable at the very least? In my experience, a lot of people who come in to see me who do want to detoxify and have tried it before have found that the detox symptoms they went through were very, very uncomfortable, very unpleasant, and not something that they want to do again anytime soon. Of course, it depends on the person, but generally our approach to detoxification, even in more alternative circles, tends to be quite gung-ho. So 60 days on just juice, 3 days on just grapefruits, or a week of water, and 7 colonics in a row. So it can be quite gung-ho. I guess it's just an extension of the Western way of doing things, you know, all at once, instant results, the faster the better. And as I'll talk about today, that's not necessarily always the most effective way to do things, and definitely not the most gentle and safe even way to do things. Whether you decide to choose one side or the other, or a mix of both, there is no right or wrong. So in my practice, as I said, I integrate the two. I find that every single person is very unique in their body biochemistry, in their genetic inheritance, the deck of cards, so to say, that they came into the world with, in their environment, their personality, their lifestyle, all of these things make us so different. So to, you know, point to any one of these popular diets, or even to suggest everyone needs to do a three-day juice fast, or everyone needs to have colonics, or everyone needs to try Atkins, or the opposite to Atkins, the China study diet, there's so many out there. I think that's where people can trip up. If you hear your girlfriend has just lost 5 kilos, or even has just detoxified and is feeling so much better, and she's tried X, we'll immediately think, oh, I want to try that as well. But that's where people can often trip up, because what worked for one person doesn't always work for the next, and can actually be somewhat harmful to the next person. Basically, what I want you guys to understand is that we can't get a mindset necessarily about what to eat. There is no absolute perfect diet. And again, I think it's a Western tendency to look for the perfect anything, or to assume that there is a perfect diet. But really, when you look at how different we all are, you start to understand, especially when you're working with people, as I do in my clinic, you start to understand you can't get a mindset about what to eat, because everyone's body is so different. And then not only are we different in our bodies from one person to the other, but our bodies change from season to season. You know, if you're a woman, you'll understand the cyclic nature of our bodies, our menstrual cycles, as one type of cycle. Men have their cycles as well, don't worry about that. But our bodies are too different to go use this protocol for everyone. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So we have to start being smart about this. We have to start looking more inside for what is going to work for us, rather than reaching out and looking for answers outside. And, you know, starting to attune to our bodies, listening to symptoms, which is the language our body talks to us in. These things start to become really important. And I find in our day and age, a lot of people have forgotten about that, or they've left the responsibility of looking out for their symptoms and listening to them to the doctors, to the dietitians, to all these people. So I don't want to put myself out of a job, but I'm just saying that people have, you know, you guys have a really big potential to be your own self-healers just by starting to listen to your own bodies. So we'll keep going. If anyone's been to any of my other talks, you might be familiar with this concept of true nourishment. And although I was trained in nutrition and dietetics, and I was trained about, you know, all how to eat and how many calories are in this and how many grams of protein and so on, and that was the main fundus, the main part of my training, I actually think that that's maybe about 20% of knowing how to really nourish ourselves. So there's this nutrition knowledge, and if anyone's been to my talks on mindful and intuitive eating, you'll understand that nutrition knowledge is half of the story. There's also our intuition and our body sensitivity. But the facts and figures, the nutrition information, this is one of many parts of understanding how to truly nourish ourselves. I am a whole foods advocate, so I really strongly encourage people to eat food that is as simple as possible, as minimally refined as possible. Lots of reasons for that. That's not the main subject of today. The main subject of today is looking at clean foods. So clean meaning not just as it pertains to food, but also as it applies to our bodies, how we look after ourselves. In other words, detoxification and reducing this load that we do tend to pick up over years and decades of living in the world that we live in. And there's other parts that are very exciting, but today I'm going to try to avoid the temptation to talk about them. So let's just make some things really clear and define a few things. What is detoxification? What is it that we're trying to detoxify? What is toxicity? Once you can understand what these things are, we can start to put some puzzle pieces together and figure out the bigger picture. So we'll start with toxicity. Toxicity is I guess an accumulation of all that stuff I spoke about before, environmental toxins, also the waste products left behind from foods and certain combinations of foods that aren't fully digested. If anyone here doesn't move their bowels at least 2 to 3 times a day, chances are your digestive system is sluggish. And so, to be honest, that's most people. Some people are less fortunate, they'll move their bowels, and I know I've just dived straight into this, but, you know, a couple of times a week, maybe less. And these are all indicators of the modern world and the amount, the load of strain that we put on our organs. You see it in the skin, you see it in people's energy levels. And when I started seeing this and noticing that sticking to the calories in, calories out equation wasn't necessarily making a difference to all those other things, yes, people may have lost weight in the short term, but their skin was still dull. Their energy levels were low when they woke up in the morning, mid-afternoon. Their moods were all over the place. Why this was happening, this is what got me really interested in detoxification, looking for answers, scratching the surface a bit more deeply. So toxicity is the accumulation of waste residue. Not everything we put into our bodies is always managed seamlessly by our organs. So don't get me wrong, we have a very, very strong set of detoxification organs. The blood, the liver, the kidneys, the lungs, our bowel, our eliminative organs are fantastic and they do a great job if we live in a way that they were adapted and designed to deal with, which from all the evidence I've seen and from a lot of the cases who walk through my door, that's just not the case. What we're putting our bodies through nowadays is so much farther beyond what our bodies, whether you look at it from an evolutionary perspective or otherwise, what our bodies were adapted and designed to do. So toxicity is this, it tends to be an acidic residue, it tends to be dehydrated in nature, and it can be pollutants, it can be heavy metals, it can be aggregated insecticides, and you know, things, especially if you eat a lot of animal products. In my past life, so before I became a dietitian, I was a veterinarian. I did a lot of work on dairy farms. I spent a lot of time in abattoirs, and I really got interested in all the stuff that goes into those animals, which then goes into us. And a lot of it really surprised me. I understood that, you know, antibiotics were fed to chickens, and certain reproductive hormones were given to cows and that kind of thing. But then there was all this other stuff that I started seeing, the insecticides, the tick killers that were poured over the backs of dairy cows, and then the cows were marched straight into the dairy afterwards, and you'd see this white poison, this carbamazine based poison dripping into milk. And I don't mean to scare you, but that's just personally what really made me wake up. Our stories are our stories, and that was just my perspective. My goal is not to turn you off milk, but rather to get thinking about this toxic load that we, you know, inadvertently do take into our bodies that we don't necessarily know about. So it's the waste itself, but also the byproducts of that waste. So, for example, when we eat a Big Mac, a cheeseburger and French fries and a double milkshake on top of that, those foods, they're not whole foods, and our bodies take a lot more effort and energy to break down those foods because they're processed, because they are, you know, they have a high human intervention factor, if anyone has heard of that term. They don't have the enzymes that most, you know, whole or plant-based or just more natural foods have. So our bodies have to work much harder to break them down. Our digestion slows down. We tend to pick up more environmental toxins when our gut slows down because there's just more time of, you know, that stuff is in our system. So when we get this accumulation, especially over years and decades of not nourishing our bodies the way that perhaps we best could, and everyone does this from time to time. Personally, my foible is hot chips, hot deep fried chips, And there is a, you know, there is a balance point, I think. There is room for some of these grey area foods in our diet, but if you look at your own history of accumulation, so the kinds of foods you grew up on as a child, if you look at your own genetic inheritance, what genes you came into the world with, and the science of nutrigenomics is really looking into that. And if you look at your own stress levels, the environment you live in, so on and so on, you can start to get an idea of your personal history of accumulation. How much stuff, how much toxicity, so to say, is, you know, likely to be built in our tissues that our liver, our lungs, our kidneys weren't necessarily able to filter out. So that's toxicity. Detoxification is simply the removal of that waste and all the byproducts, all the bacteria, the yeast, the fungus, the viruses that feed off that out of balance residue that can build up in the body. It's sounding very attractive, all this stuff, but I just want to make it really clear that this is something that's quite important for people to do. Detoxification is the removal of that stuff from the body to the point of balance. So it doesn't mean we try to strip every last bit of mercury from our bodies, because to be honest, that's a big job. But to get it to a certain level where we are vitalized again, we feel energy again, our skin is better, we release any excess weight, and we're living the way that is more what we were born to be able to. That was our birthright, to live energy filled lives. And I just think it's so tragic that people accept and just get used to living a very tired, worn out, low energy lifestyle. So detoxification, it's nothing new, and I found it really exciting. I came back from India in March this year. It was my very first trip to India. It was very full on, but I learned a lot about detoxification and specifically how common it is in other parts of the world. So in the Western culture, we, you know, anything new, the West tends to grab onto it and make it a fad and make money off it and this kind of thing, which, okay, I understand that's how we work in the West, but detoxification is a very, very ancient practice, and to think that it's something new really negates the value of it. When I was in India, I really started to understand how much of a daily part of their life it was. If anyone's ever been to the Ganga, the Ganges River in the north of India, you'll see people every morning in there doing all types of hardcore self-cleansing or kriyas. So they'll have sticks, both ends, they'll be doing weird things with cloths and water spouts and, you know, some really hardcore stuff. And at first it was like, whoa, you know, to see this was really confronting being brought up in the West. But the more I looked into it, and I had some idea I would witness this, but the more I looked into it, the more I understood these guys have been doing this for thousands of years. They have the science of Ayurveda there. In China and other places, traditional Chinese medicine is infiltrated. They have their own cleansing practices. And in different parts of the world, I've spoken to people from Austria, from Israel, who, you know, being into this kind of stuff, the subject of colonics or enemas will come up often by them, and it'll be a case of course we do enemas, of course we do colonics, and, you know, that's just a normal part of their lives. And it just really awakened me to how widespread this is and how the West has really forgotten about it for a long time. It's happened in a lot of different areas, actually. Things like traditional foods, fermented foods, warm, traditionally fermented beers and teas, and all these things that are great for our digestion and our health in general, that we've just dropped by the wayside. We have lost in our quest to produce things in, you know, large numbers, to produce things quickly. You know, we've lost a lot of gut integrity along the way. So detox is nothing new, and it has many names. The Ayurvedic practitioners specifically, they have so many different names for this toxic residue that builds up in different parts of the body. In particular, the one that builds up on the surface of the tongue is called ama. And if you look at your tongue first thing in the morning, this is very exciting to me, but I understand if not everyone's this excited by it. You can get what's called a tongue scraper. It's a stainless steel U-shaped piece of metal, and you actually scrape your tongue first thing in the morning, so you can experiment with this, before you drink any water, before you wash your mouth out, definitely before you brush your teeth. Buy a tongue scraper from the health food shop. They're about $5 to $8. So very cheap, and they last for a lifetime. And run it from the very base of your tongue to the tip. Do that 5, 7, 10 times, and then look at what accumulates on the end. It's a mixture of bacteria, often anaerobic, the not so friend, the kind of nastier bacteria, food waste, things like this. And it just gives you a visual. It can be a barometer of at least that kind of residue that builds up in the upper intestines. You know, the stuff that builds up in the wall of our large colon is a different animal altogether. I won't go into it too much, but if you're going to do something exciting, take home something from this talk, go buy a tongue scraper and do that. And if you put that stuff on the sink, if you put your tongue scraper on the sink, come back half an hour later and smell it, you will vomit. Like, it's nasty. And I'm sorry to get really graphic, but some people are very visual and they need to see what's this toxicity, you know. If you've ever been for a colonic or listened to someone talk about their experience, that's another form of waste residue, and the visual can be quite impressive as well. But before I get too excited, I'm going to carry on. So that's something you can do. And as well as you do detoxify your body, as you do improve your diet, your health, and other areas as well, you can use that as a barometer to see, okay, it's turning from a brown, yellowy, big, thick, whatever, to quite white, opaque, very thin amounts. So you can actually see that waste residue being reduced. All right, so we've talked a little bit about waste, what is toxicity, the leftover residue from food, the metabolic byproducts of that. So that includes all the bacteria that feed on specifically the waste residue in the gut when we eat too much, or we eat the wrong foods or the wrong combinations of foods, and the carbonic gas and all the acidity that those bacteria create, and the environmental toxins as well. That's just a picture of the large colon of a 45-year-old woman with breast cancer. She had been chronically constipated for years. And the one on the right is after, you know, her large colon. Once she had changed her diet, done a lot of detoxification, needless to say, her breast cancer went away as well. So there is a lot of linkage between this load of toxicity we carry around in our bodies and chronic disease. And that is not acknowledged by mainstream science. But it is my hope that eventually it will. So how do you know if you need to detoxify? If you grew up on the standard Australian diet, which I did, meat and three veggies, which were potato, tin peas, and maybe another type of potato or, you know, something like that, and a big chunk of meat, you know, that's the standard Australian diet, maybe some packet gravy or something like that. You know, the people I meet who were brought up on a farm or in a more naturally minded household who didn't quite grow up in that standard Australian diet, lucky you, that's all I can say. If you live and breathe in this modern world, so if you have a full-time job or even part-time, if you are a mother, if you are in traffic for any part of the day, your stress levels will be measurably far higher than anyone who lived 100 years ago. If you're seeing symptoms, and there is a huge, huge list of these, but they include things that we take for granted and we just accept and get used to, things like skin problems, sinus issues, digestive issues, constipation, migraines or regular headaches, you know, being over your healthy, comfortable weight. So I'm not talking about a weight that the magazines tell us should be. I'm talking about a weight that is healthy and comfortable for you. And you'll know if you're over that weight or not. The more severe your symptoms are, so, you know, you might just be a bit tired come 3 o'clock. Or you might have, raging migraines every few days. The more severe your symptoms are, the more toxic you are likely to be. And I know that's a very blunt thing to say, but it's actually a blessing once you can understand, okay, I've got pretty bad headaches, my constipation is, it's just something I've gotten used to now. No, don't ignore that. Don't silence it. A lot of us are used to just, you know, popping a headache pill or taking laxatives or taking sleeping pills or, you know, if it's insomnia. Rather, those are band-aid solutions. And the language that our body talks to us in is the language of symptoms. So your body might start off by, you know, saying, I'm pretty tired at 3 o'clock. I'm pretty tired when I wake up. Okay, ignore that. Just, you know, throw a coffee down and off I go. But then, you know, I find people in their mid to late 20s will start to develop things like polycystic ovarian syndrome, chronic migraines, food allergies, allergies to everything, allergies to strawberries, allergies to things that 20 years ago we very rarely saw allergies to, because the rate of accumulation is increasing so fast and has increased greatly over the last 2 decades. So, you know, the more you ignore or silence them, the more they're likely to lead to, in your 30s, you know, insulin resistance and, you know, tumours and cysts that seem benign, or and eventually get to your cancers, your strokes, your, you know, really severe gastrointestinal issues, Crohn's disease and diverticulitis and things like that. If we listen from the outset, we can do something about that. But if we put a band-aid on it, our body will just yell louder and louder and louder until we're at the point where we have to do something. Some people that happens in their 20s, some it's not till their 60s. Everyone is different. But the earlier, the better. So I've just talked a little bit about that, the problems we face. The incident of juvenile onset diabetes has skyrocketed. We're seeing a lot more heart disease, obviously obesity, but a lot of other things as well. You know, poor blood circulation, asthma, autoimmune diseases. We're seeing so much more of all of it than we saw even 10 years ago, and definitely 30 years ago. So the question is, you know, why, if as a society we're spending so much money on research into these diseases, some of them, why are we seeing more and more of it? And it's my personal opinion that it is partly due to putting off the responsibilities, not listening to our bodies and not taking things into our own hands. And there is so much we can do. We can take a lot of this into our hands. We can empower ourselves and do a lot. Detoxification is just one thing we can do to reduce this toxic load and reduce the accumulation of all this gunk that builds up in our bodies and contributes to diseases of congestion. So, okay, I think you get that. So what's the goal of detoxification? I think, you know, obviously we want to move this stuff out of the body, but so much more than that. It's not just to get down to a healthy weight and be able to rock up to a high school reunion feeling fantastic. It's not just, you know, to fit into that size jeans. I mean, that's okay, that can be a good motivator on the surface, but what we really want is to feel ease, to embody ease. In every way, so ease in the body, ease in the mind, ease in the heart, to be able to look in the mirror and feel at ease, to have ease in our relationships. So, you know, detoxification isn't just about clearing the physical pathways in our body, cleaning the blood and taking the muck out of our fat cells and our organs where it might be harbored, but opening the pathways of our body in every way, not just the physical pathways. Anyone who has even looked at Ayurveda or traditional Chinese medicine will understand there's also energetic pathways in our body. It's a personal choice as to, you know, whether you subscribe to that school of thought or not, but the goal of detoxification is so much bigger than just looking good or even feeling good. It's to operate in a way that is more our innate nature. Because we were all, you know, designed, we were all born to be free-flowing individuals. The other thing about detoxification, so I hope you all have a bit of an idea more about what it means. We don't just want to detoxify to retox. you know, a lot of the detox diets on the market or the little kits you can buy in the pharmacy, it's a 10-day liver cleanse. So it's only specific to the liver, and it's only 10 days. After that, you can go back to your cheeseburgers and whatnot. And it's just torture for 10 days, and you're maybe having these powders and psyllium and bentonite clay and colonics or raw food or whatever it is. And then a lot of the time people will think, oh, I've done that, let's party, you know, let's go out for a big night. We have to approach it in a very gentle way, which again slams in the face of our Western, you know, instant results kind of mentality. We want to detoxify so that it becomes a sustainable lifestyle choice. So that we're detoxifying every day, we're balancing ourselves more and more every day, not just for 3 days, not just for 10 days, not just for 60 days, it's what we do for the rest of our life because it just feels so good and feels so right. That's what I think detoxification should be. So how do we start to deep tissue cleanse, which is another word for detoxification? I've got some basic principles here. I actually run detoxification workshops, masterclasses, retreats. I'm a yoga teacher as well, so sometimes I weave that in. And my next workshop is actually Saturday the 14th of September. So if anyone's really serious about this, we spend a whole day in the kitchen as well as, you know, theory, really going into the principles of detoxification. I don't have a lot of time today, but I do want to quickly touch on three of the eight most important principles of detoxification: reverse, replenish, and remove. So when we decide, okay, looking at my history of accumulation, looking at the kind of lifestyle I live, chances are, yeah, I might have a bit of stuff stored in my fat cells, I might have a bit of residue in my liver. And it's just an interesting note, I see that a lot of often middle-aged women, sometimes not even middle-aged, younger, come into me with weight loss issues, you know, not being able to lose weight, even if they are exercising, training for a half marathon, working out for 2 to 3 hours a day, eating hardly anything. So they're fully subscribed to the calories in, calories out approach, and they're still not losing weight. And sometimes they're even gaining weight. So you can imagine just how distressing that is to these ladies. The thing is, when your body reaches a certain threshold of toxicity, so when we've accumulated all this stuff over our adolescence, over our adulthood, and the body gets to a point where it can no longer filter everything out through the liver and kidneys, what can your body do? It doesn't want this stuff in the bloodstream. It certainly doesn't want it near your heart and lungs. It sequesters it. It stores it away in the part of the body that where it's least likely to cause damage. And guess where that is? Any guesses? Someone did this? Yeah, peripheral fat. For those people who have a genetic disposition to storing fat, which is the vast majority of us, I think it's the 98% besides the 2% who are supermodels, we have this genetic predisposition to store fat. And for men, it tends to be a bit of a higher percentage. But for most of us, we tend to store toxins in fat. And so if you're just trying to burn off fat just using the energy in equals energy out approach, and you're not addressing detoxification, it's going to be very, very hard to move that waste residue. The waste, in a way, equals the weight. Your body is trying to keep you alive. Because by storing the heavy metals, the acidic byproduct in fat cells, in peripheral fat cells, in the thighs, in the saddlebags or the belly, wherever it is, that stuff is kept away from your vital central organs. And so that's why I think detoxification is such an important part of any weight management program. And even if you don't have weight to lose, I've seen very, very slender men and women who have heavy metal poisoning, who are very, very toxic in their tissues. You do a hair analysis or some other kind of test and they are still loaded with these chemicals. So whether you have weight to lose or not, we've got to initiate some kind of process to take this enormous load off our bodies. So back to the 3 points I wanted to talk about. Reverse. Obviously, the first thing we want to do is stop putting the stuff into our bodies in the first place that's causing the damage. So, why did I put that lovely picture of Keanu Reeves there again? Oh, yeah. So, we want to stop poisoning ourselves specifically with unfit foods. And to do this, if anyone's watched the Matrix movie, which I have to admit I'm a big fan of, there's a scene where he stops the bullets flying towards him. He's freed his mind of, you know, conventional cages. He's freed his mind of all these conditioned paradigms. And basically, with pretty much all of my clients, when we start to talk about food, the tangible food, I get them to clear their minds of the muddy confusion of all the dietary stuff they've learnt about. So whether that's sugar, all sugars are bad, high protein is good, all carbs are bad, all of these black and white beliefs that can actually get in the way of us reaching our optimal level of health. So free your mind and start to be a bit more open to other ways of looking at your health and well-being. That's very general, but yeah, we really have to start with an enhanced consciousness before any material changes can take place. So I've touched on old school dieting. It's a picture of Grandmaster Flash and the Fabulous Five. Just very old school ways of dieting I was talking about. And even health foods, as I mentioned, that can become a trap as well. You know, we can go down that path and get swept away in the tide of extreme fasting and lemon juice diets and things like that. I always like to use the grandma rule. So when it comes to reversing, which means what foods do we stop putting into our bodies, use the grandma rule. Any food that you consume, whether it's an apple, like a one ingredient food, or a packet food, in which case, look at the back, look on the ingredients. Just look at the ingredients and ask yourself, would my grandmother recognize this? So if it's an apple, we look at it, we go, okay, I recognize it, I'm pretty sure it came from a tree, pretty sure my grandma would know where that came from too. Great, go to town. If it's a packet food and it's got 32 ingredients on it, half of which have numbers after them and letters, I personally don't even know what emulsifier E308 is. I know what a lot of the other ones are, but if we don't know what that is, and our grandmother certainly wouldn't, why are we putting it into our bodies? They tend to be non-foods, those foods with big ingredient lists. So rather than thinking, okay, calories in, calories out, ironically, a lot of the low-calorie foods have all these letters up in their ingredients list, start to look at the ingredients. If you're going to look at nutrition panels, look at the quality of ingredients and apply the grandma rule. That will go a big way to reversing putting toxins, heavy metals, pollutants in your body. If you really want to get 3 gold stars in this and you are eating a food that seems to be whole, so whether it's a cut of meat or fish or an apple or, you know, a bunch of celery, you can go, okay, it's easy, one ingredient, but what else went into the growth, the husbandry, the manufacture of that food? You can start to do your own research and look it up. And that's where organic, sustainable, biodynamic food comes in, but that's another talk for another time. So, reverse. Basically, to make a difference, bring in less junk today than you did yesterday. Pretty simple. So, you know, all the packaged foods with all the ingredients, the colours, the preservatives, the numbers, there's artificial sweeteners and flavours, hydrogenated oils. I hate saying there's any good and bad foods, but if I had to say there's one bad thing, it's hydrogenated fats and oils. They're just extremely inflammatory, and more evidence is mounting to show that they are huge contributors to heart and cardiovascular disease. Refined sugars, flours, diet products, it's just ironic. And, you know, a couple of other things, we can just do ourselves so much benefit by finding alternatives, healthier, more whole food-based alternatives to these foods. So I always run out of time, so I'm going to quickly keep going, try to get all these things in. The second is replenish. So if we're going to take out the not-so-health-generating stuff, what do we put in instead? I like to use the little memory word, FARC foods, which sounds really dodgy, but I guarantee you it's not. So FARC, firstly we look at the frequency of foods, F for frequency. Everything that you see around you, whether it's this table or an apple or your body, vibrates at a certain frequency. It's just a basic law of physics. It's scientifically measurable with a Hertz meter. Sometimes when I show people this list, they think we should be eating humans then. No. Humans, our bodies, a healthy human body vibrates at about 60 to 80 megahertz if you measure it. You know, fruit, fresh vegetables, roughly the same. Other foods, you know, wild caught salmon and fish, a little bit lower. If we just jump straight to the bottom, less than 1 megahertz, practically a dead food, no life force energy. We've got white bread. And my partner's mum, she's Greek and she's a big food lover, but even she says, the whiter the bread, the quicker you're dead. And I think that's fantastic. It just sums it up. So the frequency of food, there's so much more I want to say, but I won't go into it. That's one factor. And you can choose to look at all of these or just one of them to figure out which foods should I be nurturing my body with. Alkalinizing, it's a whole nother game as well. But basically, all foods, all substances have are on a hierarchy of alkalinity, acidity. Again, this has been turned into a really big fad. I think it's an important part of what to consider when we look at food. It's not the be-all and end-all, but still, you know, the most alkaline things tend to be plant foods. More acidic tends to be processed animal foods as well. That doesn't mean that we should all be vegan or vegetarian. It just means we want to make sure that we're getting plenty of that alkaline fruits, vegetables, plant-based foods, coconut water, just things that are really, really perfect human foods into our bodies. Doesn't have to be 100%, but we want to be getting enough. Are real, we talked about that with the grandma rule. Do you want real foods, whole foods, foods from the earth? I think that's pretty basic. And the C, can anyone guess what the C stands for? No guesses in this little shortcut? Chocolate, which may surprise some people. And I might be a bit biased because I'm a chocolate lover. I pretty much have dark chocolate every day, but I just want to show you that eating in a healthy, sustainable, pleasurable, enjoyable way doesn't have to mean getting rid of anything that's not so health-generating. So it has to be realistic. And this is where, in my work with my clients, I come in. Yes, there's all this theory about frequency and alkalinity and hydration, all this, but we've got to make it practical. You might have 3 kids, and we need to make something that the kids are going to eat. It has to be pleasurable. We have to still be able to go out and socialize and go to Christmas dinners and not be a wallflower and not be able to eat anything. So, you know, comfort food, cooked food, creative food, it has to be a nice fit for our lifestyle. It has to be completely satisfying. And there are ways to have an ongoing detoxification and get more pleasure out of food than you thought possible. Things like sweet potato, coconut cream, ice cream, delicious fruit smoothies and cooked dishes, using real organic butter, using high quality animal products, using, you know, beautiful salmon, using fresh organic vegetables and putting them together in delicious creative ways. These can all be part of a detoxification program that's specifically tailored to you. It doesn't have to mean, and it shouldn't mean, just drinking green juice every day, all day. Although green juice is a very wonderful thing if you can get onto that. So release, the third thing I want to talk about today. Releasing, when we bring in all these alkaline hydrating foods into our body. So if, for example, you do go on a juice cleanse or you bring in more raw alkaline plant-based food, you're going to basically be awakening what I like to call the sleeping beast. The beast, the waste that's embedded in our tissues, in our large colon, in our fat cells, in our organs. We're going to be shaking that stuff up, literally pulling it up and out of the tissues, into the bloodstream, into the large colon, where it's teed up for a cleanse. A lot of people think that's the job done. But as you've seen, if you've known anyone doing a juice cleanse, they get very unpleasant to hang around by about day 3 or 4 because they awaken so much rubbish, and if they're not removing it at least the same rate that they're waking it up, they will be feeling awful. They've now awakened the beast and they've got the poisons of the last 5 years circulating in their blood, in their large colon, and if their colon is sluggish and they can't move it out, which is the majority of people, and they're not moving it out effectively via other means, they're going to be moody, skin breaking out, lethargic, horrible bowel symptoms, not a fun person to be around. So this release stage, I find, is the biggest missing piece. If you only go home with one thing today, let it be release. This is the biggest missing piece of any detoxification regime, even the more holistic alternative ones, the big long juice cleanses, the water fasts, the raw food diets, the even veganism and vegetarianism. Any change that you make, if you wake up too much waste, you're going to auto-intoxicate yourself and feel awful. And we don't want that, because if you're feeling awful, why would you want to keep going? Why would you want to keep having green smoothies and more veggies? You just want to go back to whatever it was you were doing before, and that's not what we want. So releasing, the detoxification is the awakening and the removal. So we want to awaken it, but then we want to get it out of the body. Otherwise, it's just a potential detox. It's not a true cleanse. So it's not a true cleanse until the waste actually leaves the body. So how do we get this stuff to leave the body? Well, once we've awakened it, there are methods we can employ to make sure that stuff gets out, especially if your digestion is compromised. We have to be extra careful to get it out. And part of my job is, when I work with people on a one-on-one basis, to make sure that they're timing them both really well, that they're balancing them out, that I'm watching what they're doing, making sure they don't experience that auto-intoxication and they're feeling fantastic. So so you guys are familiar with this now. We need to get the gunk out of the body. And basically, this is, as I mentioned, where we differ from even the holistic approach of taking powders and tablets and herbs and psyllium. That's all great for awakening, pulling toxins back into the large colon, but if we can't move it out, we end up constipated and feeling absolutely horrible. Things like colonics, enemas, dry body brushing, infrared saunas, sweating, deep breathing, yoga, meditation, exercise outdoors, being near the ocean, being in hot springs, all of these things and more are ways that we can help our bodies to release the waste. And it's not that you have to do all that stuff at once, but find the ways that work best for you, find the methods that you are comfortable with, and then employ them on a regular enough basis to keep up with whatever detox you're doing. A fair number of clients who come in to see me, you know, they're desperate to have to come to a holistic dietitian. You know, maybe you'd have to be a bit desperate, but a lot of them, I'm their last call before bariatric surgery, before they get big chunks of their intestines cut out to lose weight, or before they go in for a chemical treatment of some kind. So they're desperate, and so they'll want to do it all. They'll want to do everything I mentioned. They'll want to go from Macca's three times a day to a raw food, juice fast diet, or whatever it is, and I'm the first person to say no, that you're not doing that. Because if you do that, you're going to feel horrible and you're going to awaken so much that you can't get rid of it. So for people, I do say, if you are not comfortable with colonics and enemas, so that's bowel cleansing, that is fine, you know, it's not part of our culture. But for those people, I always suggest going a lot more gently on the awakening stage, because so much stuff can be moved back into the large bowel, ready to be released. If we can't release it, we're in trouble. So, you know, that's my job, to individualize it to each person. And I've mentioned, you know, gravity method, colonics or enemas, taking the garbage out, not just putting it in little piles, putting it in bags and leaving it in the hallway of your house. It's actually getting the removalist to come in and take the bags out. Moving your body, breathing and sweating. He's having a good time. All these things help. Stand up, paddleboard, yoga, aerial, whatever floats your boat. And dry skin body brushing, this is one of my favourite ways. The skin can release a lot of waste. Kilograms of waste can be shed through the skin in a week. So dry body brushing helps things along. There's many others. I think I'll start to wrap things up. So basically, detoxification is one of these areas I'm so passionate about, for all the reasons I've told you and more. And for people who do struggle with any kind of indigestion, reflux, chronic constipation, have excess weight to let go of, even who have cravings for unhealthy foods or non-health generating foods, a lot of the cravings can be due to the amount of waste that is accumulated in our bodies, that's changing our blood biochemistry, that's changing our taste bud perception. So, you know, cellulite, skin issues, eczema, psoriasis, a lot of this comes down to detoxification. I see really big improvements even in things like fertility when I start to work with people with detoxification. So if you do have any questions, let me know. And as I mentioned, I am running this workshop. I've run one on a slightly different topic a couple of weeks ago. This is part of a larger training I'm doing, an advanced nutrition training. Doesn't mean that you want to be a nutritionist in order to do it, but it's for anyone looking beyond the standard nutrition and well-being paradigms. So this is Saturday the 14th of September. I'm running an all-day masterclass specializing in detoxification. So we really go into depth with the theory of it. I'm getting a colonic hydrotherapist to come in to talk all about the bowel side of things. We'll be doing food demonstrations in the kitchen, showing you how to make detox-friendly food and how delicious it can be. There's going to be a whole food chef there helping me with that. And just to give you a lot of tools, recipe lists, shopping lists, different things that you can use to start to tee up your own personalized body cleanse. I can absolutely do it for you, but I find that when people understand the theory and the mechanics of their body, when you go that step deeper and actually learn this stuff yourself, you can not only help your being, your body, but your family, your friends, and start to share this info. And basically, the more this gets out, the better. I don't want to keep it to myself. I want more and more people to know about this so they can start feeling the benefits and sharing them with other people. So if you're interested in that, let me know. There's a special discount for anyone who signs up today from being at this course, at this talk, so let me know. Besides that, and lunch of course is included, it has to be, you know, it's all about food, so I have morning tea and lunch included. But basically, and that's another topic altogether that we'll touch on as well. So basically, guys, that's it for today. I've run out of time. Thank you so much for your attention and for listening. I really appreciate it. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. So does anyone have any questions? Anything that needs to be clarified a little bit more?
You haven't actually gone into depth detox in the body, though.
Yes, that's because there's so much in it.
So you've got to go to this course to understand that.
Well, either that or you can do your own research. Like, there's
I just thought that was research.
Yeah, there's so much to say. At this course, I teach people about the food minutiae. So we go into detail with alkalinity, with frequency, with hydration, with colon cleansing, with all the other methods, awakening and releasing, looking at that in detail. I can't possibly present it in an hour. I can give you a taster, and I'll try to give as much as possible. But yeah, there is so much more to learn. Don't think that this is it. Do your own research. Go out there, read books, talk to people, do my course or do someone else's course. But the more you find out about it, the more you can empower yourself and start to experience benefits.
Are there a book that you recommend?
Yeah, there's tons. There's tons of good books. Thank you. Yeah, sure. So, for detoxification specifically, there are a lot of pioneers in this work. People like Arnold Errett, Norman Walker, and there's quite a few even modern day nutritionists, dietitians who are practicing this work. So, you know, I do a lot of stuff on this, but those two would have to be probably the pioneers. Anne Wigmore as well. Yeah, they were the first advocates for this way of living. Yeah. No worries. Any other questions, guys? First one, what was Arnold, the first one I mentioned?
Arnold.
Oh, Arnold Errett.
Errett.
Errett. E-H-R-E-T. Yeah. Any other questions, guys? Thank you so much for coming. Thank you. Have a great afternoon.